My name is Christopher Lidke, and I'm going to talk to you about your lodge officers, who they are, what they do, and ideally how they progress, how they grow from the junior steward all the way up to the worshipful master. Now, Masonic lodges are dependent on their officers' leadership. Each position plays an important role if the organization is going to be successful. And here are your basic lodge officers. You will see this a lot in this presentation. This is a top-down view, so you can see the junior steward, senior steward, and junior warden off to the right. The senior warden, or the west in the lodge, is down to the bottom, the worshipful master in the east towards the top. So now that you have that orientation, let's talk about who these people are. And we're going to start with these seven offices. These are the progressive officers, or the progressive line, also known as going through the chairs. And this is the line of succession, which moves up one position each year. In theory, assuming no one moves out of the line, it will take 7 years to move from junior steward to worshipful master. Each step along the way, you are learning something new. I'm also going to take a second to point out that just because it's called the progressive line does not guarantee progression through the line. The stewards and deacons are appointed positions. The worshipful master at any time can appoint someone else, or at least at the beginning of the year, can appoint someone else to those positions, thus removing someone from the line. The wardens and master are elected positions, meaning that the lodge can choose to vote those people out of those positions when it comes time for officer elections and installation. So just because it's called the progressive line does not guarantee progression through said line. The progression works like this. It's going to look a little more complicated than it is. So when we look at the progression, junior steward, the next year will become senior steward. Makes sense. You move from junior to senior. From stewards, you move to deacons. So you move to junior deacon and then senior deacon. You can see where this is going. Senior deacon, you'll move over to junior warden to senior warden to worshipful master. So really you're moving from stewards, effectively people who make dinners and take care of refreshment, to deacons, people who take care of the activities within the lodge and prepare the lodge, to wardens, people who prepare and make sure everything is working for the lodge overall, to the worshipful master who has oversight over everything. Now, the duties and names of these officers are taken from very old customs, typically dating back to various medieval guilds, not just stonemason guilds, but guilds overall. So, let's start at the top. Let's start with the worshipful master. Now, his jewel is the square, which operative masons make use of to determine whether the perfect ashlar is in fact true and correct. Now, this is important to make sure that it has been smooth, that the angles are appropriate, and they will fit nicely into the building. This symbolizes virtue, because we need to measure virtue against something, and a square is a representation of that universal something against which we must measure ourselves in terms of morals, ethics, and virtue. Now, the worshipful master sits in the east of the lodge room, symbolic of the rising sun in the east, and directs all the business of the lodge. He also presides over ritual and ceremonies. His position is like a president of any other organization. As master, his word is final over all actions pertaining to his lodge. It is, after all, his duty to set the craft at work and give them proper instruction. The worshipful master is responsible for everything within his lodge during his year. What does that mean? That means that he needs to watch over, to have a hand in the jobs and activities of every other lodge officer, every lodge committee, ritual and degree work, Masonic education, social functions, fundraisers, district and grand lodge liaison activities, trestle board communications, etc. He needs to be at the center of everything for that year. It is a very exhausting position. All eyes are upon the master. If the lodge functions smoothly, it is the master who will get credit. If the lodge functions start to go awry, it is the master who will bear responsibility. It is his duty to preside over business meetings, the conferral of degrees, and delegation of duties to all other lodge officers. While Freemasons call the master Worshipful Master, they do not worship him. Worshipful is an honorary title, showing respect for his position, just like calling a judge Your Honor. Moving on, let's talk about the Senior Warden. Now, his jewel is the level, symbolizing that all Masons must meet on the level without regard to social, political, or religious belief or status. So everyone, whether you're sitting next to the world's wealthiest person, the President of the United States, or anyone else, is equal within the walls of the lodge. The Senior Warden is the second in command within the lodge. In the absence of the master, the Senior Warden assumes the master's duties. The Senior Warden sits in the west, symbolic of the setting sun, and assists the Worshipful Master in opening and closing the lodge. The Senior Warden is in charge of the lodge when it is at labor. His position is similar to that of Vice President. His ancient duties were to pay the craft, or the members of the guild, their wages, to handle disputes among the workmen. Today, it is his duty to support the master and prepare himself for that office for the following Masonic year. So, from the Senior Warden, we move to the south, and talk about the Junior Warden. His jewel is the plumb, which is an instrument made use of to raise perpendiculars, basically to make sure vertical surfaces are in fact vertical. It symbolizes upright behavior amongst Masons. Now, the Junior Warden is the third in command. He sits in the south, symbolic of the position of the sun at midday, and is responsible for the brethren while the lodge is at refreshment. The Junior Warden, too, may open the lodge if the master is unable to attend the meeting. It is the Junior Warden's duty to arrange meals for the lodge, and typically the two stewards will act as his assistants in this responsibility. He also acts as the liaison to the youth groups, either the Demolé or the Bethel if present. Symbolically, it is also his duty to make certain that the members do not convert refreshment into intemperance or excess. Now, this may sound strange, since today we don't allow alcohol within the lodge. This is actually a holdover from earlier times up to about turn of the century, even though in most U.S. jurisdictions, alcohol is, of course, barred today, so it's not as big of an issue. But in a more realistic sense, the Junior Warden's position is to kind of keep an eye on things in that time of refreshment, make sure people aren't going too far. He's the one who would cut someone off if they've drunk too much. He's the one who would be responsible for making sure that there's enough food, drink, etc. to keep the event going. The three officers that we've talked about, the Master, Senior, and Junior Wardens, always listed from top down, are known as the primary officers. These are elected officers who really should be meeting within the lodge on a weekly or bi-weekly or maybe monthly basis to discuss where they're taking the lodge. They also act as the finance committee. Moving below the primary officers, we move into some of the appointed positions. Now, these are positions which are appointed by the Worshipful Master. He can put people into these positions. The next master can replace them. It is entirely the master's prerogative. The Senior Deacon, his jewel is a square and compass with the sun in the middle. The sun signifies his position is on the lower level to the right of the Worshipful Master in the east. He is acting as an assistant to the Worshipful Master, hence the sun being there and his position. He is effectively the messenger for the Worshipful Master. His role, the Senior Deacon's role, is to welcome and escort visitors and candidates into the lodge and introduce distinguished visitors. It is his responsibility to assist the Worshipful Master and carry orders between the Worshipful Master and the Senior Warden. During ritual, he guides the new candidate and conducts him around the lodge room. During the opening and closing ceremonies, he will display and secure the three greater and three lesser lights. He will also carry the ballot box when balloting is necessary within the lodge. The senior deacon and junior deacon, who we will get to, both carry long staffs or rods because they are messengers within the lodge, either of the worshipful master or the senior warden. The staffs are symbolic of the ancient caduceus that the Roman god and messenger Mercury would have carried atop the rods or the jewels of their respective offices. Let's talk about the junior deacon. Like his senior counterpart, the senior deacon, the jewel of his office, the junior deacon's office, is the square and compass. However, the junior deacon's square and compass has a moon at the center, signifying that he is in the west. His principal role is to assist the senior warden by carrying messages from the senior warden in the west to the junior warden and to guard the outer door. It is his duty to always ascertain whether the tiler is guarding the door and only allow visitors to enter after they have been properly vouched for. The junior deacon is also responsible, along with the senior deacon, with making sure that the lodge is set up and properly prepared for any work that might be going on, whether it's opening a stated meeting, a special communication, or degree work. He also prepares candidates during ritual and escorts them into the lodge room. Which brings us to the senior and junior stewards. Again, appointed positions. Their jewel is the cornucopia. This signifies the horn of plenty. It is a horn filled with fresh fruit and vegetables to denote the fruits of your labor and represents a job well done. The senior steward is tasked to study the junior deacon's position and fill in for the junior deacon when absent. The junior steward is tasked to understudy the senior steward position and fill in for the senior steward in his absence. This does not mean simply in the lodge room, but rather at meal times or at events. The junior steward should be learning skills from the senior steward so that when he's senior, he can move that institutional knowledge on to the next brother. During the degrees, the stewards assist the junior deacon in preparing candidates. Both the senior and junior stewards typically handle kitchen duties within the lodge. Now, this is not always the case. Some lodges operate differently, but that is typically the case within Masonic lodges. So let's talk about some of the other positions. The following officers are not considered part of the progressive line. Many times, these brothers have already progressed through the chairs. Treasurers and secretaries often serve their lodge in their respective positions for many years. And this becomes really important because continuity in these positions is vital to a well-run and efficient lodge. Training takes time, and if these officers' positions change every year, financial and accounting chaos would occur. So typically, you will see a past master who will come up and take on one of these positions. So let's talk about them. Let's start with treasurer. Now, the treasurer's jewel is a pair of crossed keys signifying that he is the collector and distributor of all lodge monies. The treasurer of a Masonic lodge is the chief financial officer of the lodge. He sits to the right of the master and behind the senior deacon. He is responsible for all financial transactions. He receives all monies paid in and pays all debts by order of the worshipful master and consent of the lodge. The treasurer does not need an accounting degree. However, experience with bookkeeping and accounting help. In a practical sense, the treasurer takes money that is paid into the lodge, typically to the secretary, and he acts as a balance to the secretary, both of them working with each other to make sure that monies paid in are accounted for and monies paid out are accounted for as well. The treasurer also works with the finance committee, the master, senior, and junior wardens, to ensure that the monies are all properly handled. And in some lodges, may work with the trustees as well. Let's talk about the secretary. His jewel is the crossed quill pens. He is the lodge's recorder. The secretary's lodge officer duties require a high degree of expertise, Masonic knowledge and diplomacy, and above all, detailed paperwork skills. The lodge secretary is the backbone of any Masonic lodge. He sits to the left of the master, and he is required to have all of that institutional knowledge. That's why it's so important to have a secretary who's going to be there for a while, because they build up the knowledge. While the master and those other officers change, hopefully every year, the secretary can create that foundation that allows the lodge to run smoothly. His duties require him to handle all correspondence to the membership, minutes of the lodge meetings, petitions of new candidates, continuous lodge member counts, and many other administrative duties. From his member list, he sends out the annual dues notices and receives dues payments. The secretary's office official duties are many, not the least of which, he must be well-versed in the code for his jurisdiction, as well as his lodge's bylaws. The secretary kind of creates a check with the worshipful master, making sure that the master is working within the rules and bounds set out by both the Grand Lodge and the lodge itself. A very experienced member usually resides in this chair. Many times he is a past master of the lodge. While it is not a prerequisite, due to the number of hours that this position requires, most, although not all, lodge secretaries are retirees and therefore able to devote many hours to the necessary work of this position. So let's move on to Tyler. His jewel is the sword, by which he symbolically refuses entrance to anyone who is uninitiated in the craft. You'll notice the sword has no scabbard, as it is his symbolic duty to always have his sword drawn, ready for the defense of his post. The Tyler sits outside the closed doors of the lodge room, armed with this sword. The Tyler's duty is to ensure that only those who are duly qualified are allowed to enter. He guards against cowens and eavesdroppers. Now, during the Middle Ages, a cowen was a man who built stone walls of poor quality. He was an uninitiated or unapprenticed stonemason. After the lodge members are inside the lodge room, the door closes, and it is the Tyler's duty to decide whether late arrivals may enter. It is also his duty to make sure that each visitor is properly clothed, which means they must be wearing their Masonic apron. To be fully and properly dressed before entrance into the lodge room, the visitor must be wearing their apron over the top or on the outside of their suit coat, never under the coat, and the apron strings must be fully tied before the Tyler will allow the visitor entrance. The chaplain has the jewel of an open book, symbolizing the volume of sacred law. This could be the Christian Bible, the Hebrew Torah, the Muslim Quran, the Hindu Vedas, or any other holy book. The chaplain of a Masonic lodge is an appointed officer of the lodge, and he is the spiritual leader of the lodge. While he may or may not be a real-world minister, priest, rabbi, or imam in the lodge, the chaplain is responsible for non-denominational prayers at both the opening and closing of meetings, during degrees, various ceremonies, and before meals. Most chaplains have no religious training, and the prayers generally remain non-denominational. In some lodges, the chaplain will also organize and lead funerary services based on the direction of the worshipful master. The counselor's principal goal is to teach the fundamentals of Freemasonry to each candidate. He will also provide continuing Masonic education to all members at lodge meetings. Further, he provides oversight to the mentors. He should not be the mentor to all candidates. Rather, the counselor tends to be a supervisor of the various mentors, thus allowing the lodge to continue. And of course, each candidate coming in would have a different mentor, presumably. So, now that we've looked at these officers, you have some idea of what they do. And of course, this is a brief overview. there's a lot more nuance to each of these positions. That being said, these positions also take on a slightly different flavor in each lodge. In one lodge, the stewards might cook on a very regular basis. At another lodge, the stewards may simply be there for ritual practice. At one lodge, the secretary may have far more power than at another. There's always going to be variation. But we also always need leadership. And it's a process. It's intended to be a process. Over a 7-year period, we are teaching you the lessons necessary to move from junior steward to the east, to leading the lodge. Hopefully, in the process, you'll pick up all the knowledge necessary to successfully be master of your lodge someday in the future.